Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Zayin. We're at the bottom of Vav Amud Bet of the two dots. Amar Mar Aval Yam Uvika Veis Tavnit VeKar VeAkarmelit Einan Lokshutu Yachid VeLokshutu Rabim. Right, a valley or the sea in a valley. And a benched area, an area of benches, and a carmelite is not like a private domain, and not like a public domain. Ubika and lokshut yachid lokshut rabim. Wait, is a valley not like a public domain, not like a private domain? But not. Then we learn in the Mishnah, ubika biyamotachama, a valley in the summer months. Rishut yachid l'shabbat rishut rabim l'tuma. It is a private domain for the purposes of Shabbat, right? We have a distinction between private and public domain for the purposes of Shabbat, for our halachot. And rishut rabim l'tuma, but it is a public domain for the purposes of tuma. Regarding tuma and tahara, there's also a distinction between public and private domain, because if you walk through an area and you're not sure if you walk through a tame area or a tahir area, you have that doubt, and now you doubt whether you yourself are tame or tahor. We have a principle that if it's in Rishut Rabim, then you're tahor, and if it was Rishut Yachid, then you're tame. So, for the purposes of Tuma and Tahara, we treat this valley in the summer months like a Rishut Rabim, because some people walk through it, so it can't really be considered a Rishut Yachid. However, for the purposes of Shabbat, it is a Rishut Yachid, because you need a lot of people to walk through it in order to constitute Rishut Rabim for the purposes of Shabbat. However, in the winter months, Rishut Yachid, lekach velekach, it's Rishut Yachid for both of them, because during the winter months, because it's all muddy outside, you're not going to really have anyone walking through the field, in which case, it's a Rishut Yachid for both of them. Amar ulo leolam karmelit havya. So Ula says, really, it's a carmelite. Meaning, what did we just say? We just challenged whether or not the bika is considered a rishut yachid or something else. So it says, really, it's a carmelite. V'amai karel rishut yachid. Wait, so why do you say rishut yachid? Lafisha ein rishut rabim. It was called rishut yachid in contradistinction to the rishut rabim. It's not a proper rishut rabim, or not a proper rishut yachid. Really, it's a carmelite. It's only called rishut yachid, so you wouldn't call it rishut rabim. Rav Ashi Amar Kigon de Idle Mechita. Rav Ashi says, no. When it has mechita, when it has partitions, then we call it rishut yachid. When it doesn't have partitions, we don't call it rishut yachid. V'chi hade Amar Ula Amar Yochanan. Like Rav Ula says, the name of Yochanan. Kapev yoter beit satayim. If you have an enclosure that is greater than this, than or an enclosure that produces two satayim of food, shelo hukaf ladira, that is not surrounded properly by a fence in order for residents, but rather there were partitions erected there for the sake of privacy. Rafilu kur, rafilu kuraim, right? Even if it was the size of a kur or two kur, someone throws into it is chayav. My time, mechitzi elish mechusat diurim. Basically, the chachamim prohibited carrying inside of those, carrying inside that area. So you might think, well, if you're not allowed to carry inside that area, then it's kind of like Rishut Rabim. In which case, if I'm standing in Rishut Rabim right now and I want to throw something into that area with the partitions, that should be mutter. It's Rishut Rabim to Rishut Rabim. Why would it be chayav? Because you have to remember that it's only on a rabbinic level that it is aser to carry inside of those partitions. On a deoraita level, it still maintains its status. On a deoraita level, it still maintains its status as a private area simply because it has the partitions. So, taking that shita, we can make the distinction between the valley that has the partitions, the valley does not have partitions, and the valley has partitions, even if it just has partitions, still on a deoraita level, it's considered to be closed off, and it constitutes as a rishut yachid. Bishlam Rav Ashi lo amar kedu ula. I understand why Rav Ashi didn't say like ula shita, meaning ula said, oh, it is a carmelite, it's just not a rishut rabin. I understand why Rav Ashi didn't say that, because it doesn't, because it's called a rishut yachid, and not a carmelite. Ella, my time lo amar. But why did Ula not say like Rav Ashi shita amarcha eat le mechito big akari la karpe right? 1 second. He would say as follows: if there were mechito, meaning you said, oh, there are mechito, and that's why it's everything checks out. That's why it's considered a private domain. But if there were mechito, why would we be calling it a valley? We'd be calling it a karpef. It's an enclosure. An enclosure is somewhere that has mechitzot. A valley is something that does not have mechitzot. The fact that you're calling it a valley makes me think it does not have mechitzot. Rav Ashi, Shtiyachi Katani. Rav Ashi believes that it's still more reasonable to suggest that a bikah is called a karpef, that a valley would be referred to as a, or that a valley would still be called a valley even if it doesn't have mechitzot next to it, then that we would use the word reshut yachid to define a karmelit, which it is clearly not. The karmelit atu kulu nami lav karmelit ninu. One second. We basically listed, and we mentioned this yesterday, three examples of a karmelit, and then we said veha karmelit, meaning the yam is a karmelit, and the valley is a karmelit, and the benches are a karmelit, and then the karmelit. So we already said karmelit. Why do we need to explicitly mention it? Ki ata rav dimi amar b'yochanan l'tzcha ela l'keren zavi t'smuch l'shul rabim. Right now, it only comes to include the following case, a corner that is next to a reshut rabim that isn't itself considered a reshut rabim. Even though many people oftentimes it gets overcrowded, force themselves through that corner. Since it's not very convenient for use, we don't give it the status of reshut rabim, so it's like a karmelit. So in between pillars, basically where you'd have the shuk, the public marketplace, there'd be all these pillars set up, and merchants would come set up behind the pillars. So in between the pillars, why do we constitute that? A lot of people walk through there, nidon ki karmelit, and we treat it, however, like a karmelit, even though a lot of people walk through the pillars. My time, even though a lot of people walk through it at the same time, since you cannot treat it all like one large domain, such that you can walk a straight line, because the pillars, there are a lot of pillars, are kind of all over the place. It's very hard to define it as one solid domain, which would like a karmelit. Amar Bizera, Amar Yehuda, Itztiba Shalifnei Ha'amudim Nidon Ki Karmelit. So a bench before those pillars that were also generally used to lay out merchandise is treated like a karmelit. Amar Ben Ha'amudim Boshken Itztiba. If you believe that the in between the pillars themselves, where people are definitely walking, that's a karmelit, then all the more so the benches before them should be considered a karmelit. Amar Itztiba Itztiba Hudlo Nicha Dashmishte. But those who say that no, davka, it's the karmelit, then what would you say? Yeah, the itzibah is the karmelit because it's not very convenient for you. So if I'll be not moving the nichatash mishdei. However, when it comes to between the pillars, that's convenient for use. So maybe that should not be considered a karmelit. Rather, we have a machloket as to whether or not to consider the itztibah. The itztibah is definitely a karmelit. The question is whether or not to consider the pillars. If you hold the pillars are a karmelit, then all the more is the itztibah. But if you hold the itztibah as a karmelit, then maybe just the itztibah is the karmelit because it's not very convenient for use. But between the pillars, you have something that would constitute a public area. Alternatively, same maskana, but a different lashon of albeina amudim dezimne dedarsi le'rabim kushtu rabim damya. When it comes to between pillars, because oftentimes or sometimes you have the masses walk through them, so we should consider that to be a reshut rabim, what you never have by an istaba. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rechizda, Levena Zakufa. So if you have a brick reshut rabim in a public domain, Mizarag Vetach Mfaneah, right, and you stuck something onto its side, Chayav Al Gaba Potter, right? Your Chayav is putting something on the side. However, on the top of it would be Pater. How so? Abai Barav Damit Arayev Hu Shigova Shalosha Lo Dasiba Rabin. Right, we're talking about a brick that is 3 tzvachim high. Why is that significant? Because if it's lower than 3 tzvachim, as we said earlier, it's basically on the ground. Right, anything lower than 3 tzvachim is acquired by the ground. In which case, you'd be. In which case, if you put it on its side, then it's basically on the ground. In which case, it came to a rest. However, on top of it is not 3 tzvachim it's not within 3 tzvachim on the ground, it's in its own domain, and a lot of people don't step on this brick, it's not a reshut rabim, and therefore you're not chayav transferring of all, he's vihigi. However, shrubs and thorns, even if they're not 3 off the ground, still people don't walk on it, so it's not going to be reshut rabim. V'chiyav Rav Amar, afilu hizmi v'higi. Chiyav Barav say, no, even hizmi v'higi would be a reshut rabim. Avot soa, however, feces low would not be, because people don't step on it. So it can't be considered a reshut rabim. Rav Ashi, Amar afilu tzor. Rav Ashi says, no, even feces would be considered a reshut rabim. Amar Rav Abibay, Rav Shila, Kiyata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Karmel Abtachoda, Me'arba. So Rav Yochanan taught us to follow halacha, you can't have a karmel that is less than 4 hand breadths. The Amar Rav Sheshet Ve'Tofeset Ad Asara, and it goes on until 10. Whatever that means, What exactly is that talking about? What does that mean that it goes on until Ted? If you want to say, it's only when it is surrounded by a 10 tefach mechitza on all sides, we call it a karmelade. But if it does not have that, we don't call it a karmelade. Is that true? Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Chia Bar Yosef. Rav Gidl has the name of Chia Bar Yosef. Amar Rav Bayechein Atocho Asara. If you have a house, that the walls in the house are not 10 tefachim high, the kirio mashlima. However, its roof is mashlim the walls to be proper 10 tefachim. Lasara al gago mutar litol. You're allowed to carry on the roof, bikulo, right? Completely, entirely carry on the roof because the roof is constitutes its own proper domain. Betocho im taltelin bo el betalat amot. Right. However, inside of it, you're not allowed to carry around at all, or only within the Dalet Amot. Right? In which case, what exactly did we just prove? That we just proved that this can be considered a karmelit, even though it is not surrounded by 10 tefach mechitzot on every side. Or on any side, for that matter, we said that the walls were not 10 tefachim high. And yet still, we're going to call this a karmelit. Ella, my v'tofeset al-asara. Rather, what must it mean that it goes on and extends until 10 tefachim? The ad yud, who the havik karmelit. Up until yud, it's still considered a karmelit. L'mal miyud tefachim, lo havik karmelit. But once it is beyond 10 tefachim high, it can only be considered a karmelit. V'chi ha, damar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. And that was from Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda. Shinuna, sharp one, lo tehave b'mila deshamta l'mala miyud. Right, you shouldn't be answering. You shouldn't be observing matters, or rather, you shouldn't be analyzing matters of Shabbat that extend beyond 10. It was a very ambiguous statement. We have to understand what halacha is he talking about that go beyond 10 tvachim that you shouldn't be talking about. L'may hilchata, what's the halacha that he's dealing with here? Ilema de ein reshut yachid l'mala meyud. If you want to say that he's talking about a reshut yachid, that you don't have a reshut yachid that is beyond 10 tvachim, v'amar avchiz, then that's kind of reshut yachid. V'zarek v'nachal gaba v'afilu gavua mea ama chayav. Didn't we learn that if you stuck a reed in the ground and you put a basket on top, and you threw something into it, even if it was 100 amot high, you'd still be chayav. Why? Because it's a private domain. Who cares how high it is? It's a private domain. In which case, I know that a private domain can exist even beyond 10 tvachim. Ibnei shud yachid ole ad lokia. Private domain extends until the heavens. El de inner shud rabim lamala meyud. Rather, what was he telling me about? What is he telling me does not exist beyond asara tvachim? That's what he was hinting to. You shouldn't think that this matter exists beyond 10 tvachim. That's what he was saying. What do we mean? Rishud yachid? No, we know that rishud yachid exists beyond 10 tvachim because the case of when you put a basket on top of a reed, even if it's 100 amot high and you throw something into it, you're still chayav. Rather, it must be that there is no public domain that is beyond 10 tefachim off the ground. But niti nihi. Wait, this is a Mishnah. It's not a zorek dalet amot bekotel. Someone who throws something for amot onto a wall, lamali miyud tefachim. If where it hits on the wall is above 10 tefachim, gezorg ba'avir, right? Then, okay, it's like he threw it in midair, lamatam yod tefachim. However, if you threw it against the wall lower than 10 tefachim, gezorg ba'aret, hey, it's like you threw it on the ground. Right? In which case, if throwing it underneath 10 is like you threw it on the ground itself, then I know that Rosh Rabim only exists within 10 tvachim, so it's explicit Mishnah. Why would I need to teach you here? Ela Karmelit. Rather, what was he talking about? A Karmelit. A Karmelit only extends until 10, and that's how we know that Karmelit only goes as high as 10 tvachim. Dein Karmelit l'mala meyod. Karmelit, the maximum height for a Karmelit is 10 tvachim. Vakilu barabanan makulu reshiduria yachid makulu reshidu rabim. And the Rabbanan were makil with this karmelit from the leniencies of Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the leniencies of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. What are those leniencies? Because Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Ika Makom Arba, who the Avya Karmelit, we love Makom Petur Be'almahu. Right? If there's a place of four tzvachim, then it can be called a karmelit. But if it doesn't even have a a surface area of four tvachim, then it cannot be considered a carmelite. It's just a makom p'tor. It's a totally exempt area. That's one of the leniencies the rabbis applied to a carmelite. Mekulah shudurabim, and one of the leniencies that they took from shudurabim, the ad yud tvachim, who the avya carmelite, lamalam yud tvachim, the avya carmelite, right? That it only goes up until 10, just like a shudurabim can only go up until 10. We already know that. That's an established fact. We taught it earlier. So too, a carmelite can only go up until 10. However, if it's less than four tvachim of surface area, or if it's higher than 10 tvachim, it's no longer considered a carmelite. It's a makom p'tor, and there's no halachic status for it. Gufa amar of Gidel amar orav chiyav or Yosef amar orav bayachein docho yud. Right, so we mentioned earlier this case of a house, the walls inside of it do not reach 10 tvachim. The kiruya mashlimo, however, its roof completes the height of the walls of 10 tvachim. Le al gago mutar l'tzol v'kulo. You're allowed to walk around and carry things on the roof because it's part of the main tocho im taltelim boel b'dal damor. You're not allowed to carry inside of it because it's a carmelite. Amar Abayev, im chakak bo dalet al dalet. And what if you dug a 4x4 tefach hole into the ground, basically extending the wall for all intents and purposes lower, vishlimo le, vishlimo le yud, not vishlimo le, vishlimo yud, and then for, therefore, including the hole and the wall itself, you now have 10 tvachim off the ground level of the hole. Mutter, letaltel, bekulo. That's mutter, because now you have 10 tefach, machitzot. And so it becomes a private domain. My time, what's the reason for this? So why does this work? Have chure reshut yachid, because this is called the hole of a private domain. And the hole of a private domain constitutes a private domain, in which case digging this hole next to the wall is able to extend the wall for the purposes of establishing it as a shudiyachid. Meaning I'm looking at this, at the hole, and I'm looking at the hole in the house. How do I see the hole in the house? As a reshut yachid, in which case I have a shudiyachid, in which case, it is able to turn the house itself into a shudiyachid with the existence of a 10 tefach wall from the bottom of the hole, which is itself a reshut yachid. However, the holes found in Rishut Rabim are not Rishut, they themselves are Rishut Rabim. Sorry, I lost my place a second. Okay, as it was stated, a hole in Rishut Yachid, we give it the status of a Rishut HaYachid. So when it comes to a hole in Rishut Rabim, Abaye says, well, it's a hole in Rishut Rabim. It should also be called a Rishut Rabim. So if you come upon a hole just in the middle of a public domain, and you put something inside of it, that is like putting inside of Rishut Rabim. You might think, oh, but it's like a small area in and of itself. Nope. So there's the Rabim. That hole is considered the Rabim. Rava Amar loves the Rabim Dami. Rava says, no, it's actually, it is like a Rishda. It's not like a Rishda Rabim. We always look at the hole as like an independent area. Amar Le Rava Le Abayas. Rava says to Abayas the following. According to your opinion, who says that the holes of Rishda Rabim, the holes in a public domain, constitute like a public domain. So what is the difference between your case and that which Rabbi Yochanan came and said that the carmelite, why we taught the additional word carmelite, only comes to teach us the cornered off area or the a corner of the Rishut Rabim, which is considered a carmelite, because oftentimes people go there, even though it's inconvenient to use it. Right? Why don't we just call that chore reshut rabim? Meaning, why wouldn't we call that the corner right there a chore reshut rabim? Meaning, why don't we treat this corner of the Rishut Rabim like we would treat the whole of Rishut Rabim? Meaning, the corner seems to have its own domain, right? But because it's attached to the Rishut Rabim, we say, okay, it's not a proper Rishut Rabim. It's side of a Rishut Rabim. We'll treat it like a carmelite. However, the whole of Rishut Rabim, we will treat like a Rishut Rabim itself. Why would that be the case? What's the difference between the whole of Rishut Rabim and the corner at the edge of the Rishut Rabim? One that we would say, oh, it's just an extension of the Rishut Rabim itself. It should be considered like a Rishut Rabim. And one we would say, it's its own thing. It's a carmelite. So why would that be the case? So shouldn't, according to your logic, we consider the side of the public domain to be like a public domain also? No, you can easily distinguish between the hole of Shudurabim that we call Shudurabim and the corner that some people cut through of the Shudurabim, and that is, it's convenient to use the hole of Shudurabim, in which case it's going to constitute a Shudurabim. However, it's not convenient to use the corner. It's not. And we learned in the Mishnah, Zorik Dalet Amud Bekotel, and someone who throws four Amud against the Kotel, Limala Miyod, if it's above Yod, Kizorik Be'avir, right? Then it's like you're throwing it in the air if you throw it above 10 Tvachim, Limata Miyod, but if you throw it lower than 10 Tvachim, Kizorik Be'aretz, it's like you throw it against the, throw it at the ground, and it's in a public domain because it's close to the ground. The Havenan Bab, but let's talk about that for a second. My Kizorik Be'aretz, what do we mean that it constitutes like you're throwing it on the ground? Vaha Lo Nach. Never rested. Meaning, okay, great. You're throwing it in the air, but it never came to a rest on the ground. So why would we treat that as a proper anachav? I'm Rabbi Yochanan b'devela shemina, devela shemina shemina. Right, and Rabbi Yochanan says, because what are we talking about here? We're talking about a date. A fat date, in which case, when you threw it against the wall, it didn't just bounce off again. It didn't just bounce off against the wall and go somewhere else. It stuck to the wall itself, in which case it did come to a rest. You threw it against the wall. It was low enough to the ground to be acquired by the ground. And because when it hit the wall, it got stuck to the wall, it immediately became acquired by the ground. Because we're dealing with when you threw a fat date. And if you want to say that the whole of a Shudurabim constitutes as a Shudurabim itself, Lama li le'ukme b'dvela. So why do I need to say that we're davka talking about a fat fig here that got stuck to the wall and was therefore like it's being thrown on the ground? B'dvela shemena lukme b'tzror v'chefetz, right? V'udenach b'chor. Meaning, just tell me that, no, we're talking about literally anything, but you threw it against the wall, in which case it never came to a full rest against that wall, and because it bounced somewhere else, in which case it shouldn't be considered as if it landed in the Rishut Rabim by throwing it against this wall, right? It landed wherever it landed. Just, no, say that it could have been anything, but it landed in a pit, right? Meaning, yeah, I understand, you have to say that we're talking about a fig cake here. Why do you say that we're talking about a fig cake? Because anything else would bounce off the wall, in which case you can't say that this came to a proper rest with at the wall and close enough to the ground. However, if we're dealing with just any other object, it's going to bounce off, and you can't say that it was acquired by the ground. However, if the hole of Rishud Rabim is like a Rishud Rabim, then say any object was thrown, and it was just thrown into a hole of Rishud Rabim, and it immediately came to rest. It can't come to rest at a wall, it would just bounce off. However, if it was a hole, it can come to rest there, and if we treat it like a Rishud Rabim, then that's how you can say that any object could have been, you could be chayev for transferring it from one domain to another. Zimnin mishani la. So sometimes we teach the answer as follows. Mishani la, shani tzor v'chevetz mi'adar ve'ati, ve'ati. Meaning, sometimes I would answer as follows. And the reason we taught a fig cake is not lav davka fig cake, but because it wouldn't bounce back, it's always relevant. Whereas an object that would bounce back is not always relevant, so it's just easier to teach the fig cake. And sometimes we teach it as follows. Sometimes we're just talking about, the Mishnah was talking about a wall that didn't have a hole in it. Inachinami, you could have said the wall had a hole in it, and the hole in Rishut Rabim is like Rishut Rabim, and therefore if you threw something into the hole, it would be acquired by the ground. You could have said that, except we're not talking about a wall with a hole in it. Mimai, how do you know that we're not talking about a wall with a hole in it? Midiktani, as we learned in the Mishnah, Reisha Zarek lemala miyud tefachim. If you threw it above 10 tefachim, kizorek be'avir. It's like you threw it in the air. V'yisagadaitach b'kotalit bechur. But if you want to say that we're dealing with a wall that has a hole here, am I kizorek be'avir? Hanach bechur. Why would it be like you're throwing it in mid-air, right? It could have just rested in the hole itself. And if you want to say, oh, you know what, because we're talking about a case where you don't have a proper 4x4,